Welcome back to Athens Happens. I'm Izzy Keller, managing editor of The New Political.
And I'm Aidan McDougall, digital content producer for The New Political.
Athens Happens is a podcast brought to you by The New Political, a student publication dedicated to explaining the nuances of Ohio University, Athens, and state politics.
You can find new episodes at thenewpolitical.com or wherever else podcasts can be downloaded.
According to the Pew Research Center, younger adults are becoming more frustrated with the two-party system and the partisan divide that comes with it. In response to high amounts of political division, some see third parties and independent candidates as a viable option to end partisan divide.
It's clear that the disconnect with our political party duopoly is at its highest point in decades, and much of that frustration lies at the center of the electorate. Third parties have played a crucial role in shaping United States politics for good and bad, from bringing us pro-worker reform and welfare to even laying the groundwork for former President Trump's right-wing campaign.
Today we are back with TNP opinion writer and Forward Party regional coordinator for Southeast Ohio, Mark Harris, to talk about third parties in Ohio and around the U.S. Hi, Mark.
Thanks for being here. Hey, how's it going? No problem. I'm glad we could make this happen this evening. I know it was kind of here at the end of the school year and everybody's busy, so.
Yes, we really appreciate you being here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself again?
Yeah, so this is my first semester at OU. I'm an Athens local, coming back to school a little bit late. I'm 25, so I've had a little bit more experience, and I guess I basically spent a lot of time just working, minimum wage jobs or just there above. I cooked long enough that I got a little bit above the bottom pay on that, but it wasn't for me. And I'm going back to school here at OU, and I've been able to, thankfully, to write some pieces this year for The New Political. And then I, of course, with the Forward Party, I have moved from being the captain of the Ohio House District 94. Now I'm up to regional coordinator, and things are going well. I'm having a good time, and life makes sense because it all seems to be going together and connecting in interesting ways.
That's great. Fine. So, Mark, why did you decide to join a third party and then become an organizer for it?
Well, I mean, this is kind of one of those things that you get asked 1,000 times. Because when we're doing organizing stuff, it's always, hey, introduce, and what's your story? So I guess I've got a polished version of it. But at the end of the day, it was sometime last year, I was listening to, I like Breaking Points, and Crystal from Breaking Points, Crystal Ball, spoke about the Forward Party, and she basically gave a list of reasons why she thought that moving to third parties isn't the most viable option versus staying within and trying to reform, for her, the Democratic Party. But for every point she raised, I basically took the opposite position, especially someone I generally agreed with in politics to seem so wrong. That stuck out to me. Around the same time, I was also beginning to listen to the Forward podcast with Andrew Yang. And that same day, I listened to that podcast right after, and they had the website. They said, sign up here if you're interested. And so I did. And it was probably a couple weeks later, I got an email from, at the time, the state lead was Rob Grady. And he invited me to basically be the first captain. After a few months of corresponding, when he finally got to the point where we were getting ready to start that, he chose to contact me first, which I was honored with. That's why I've been trying to do so much and be involved in the movement, is I do take it as an honor to have been the first person that he chose to call. So basically from that point forward, I have been working within the movement to do anything I can within my means. We're not to the point where we're able to fundraise yet. So everything I've done has been my means or people helping me. And we've actually done quite a bit. I want to highlight, this past weekend, we took, it was around 1,000 items. It was mostly cans, but we also got some toiletries and stuff like that, and we didn't count every single one, but around 1,000 items that we took up to East Palestine and donated. So if any of the listeners donated in that, or the bins were around town, I want to take this opportunity to thank them.
Very nice. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, well, how about you guys? When was the first time you heard about the Forward Party?
Well, the first time I heard about it was after Yang's presidential campaign, and he stepped back from that and then started the Forward Party. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting tactic. And I was like, I looked more into it, of what he wanted to do and what that idea was. And I was like, it's very interesting, and it's a very way of, well, not left, not right, but forward, But it was with that idea, I was like, I mean, that's something that's cool. And I looked into it more, and I think after looking into it more, it wasn't my thing. It wasn't a thing that I was like, I I mean, I enjoy it. I enjoy the idea, and I'll get into that later. But I think how everything's kind of set up now, I think just that two party is just too big.
So I first heard about the Forward Party when Andrew Yang announced it. Like, I knew who Andrew Yang was because of the... Was it 2020 presidential election?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I knew who Andrew Yang was, and then I followed him because I followed all the 2020 presidential candidates on Twitter. And I saw he did that, and it made some, like, national news, and so I read stuff about it. I didn't really look too much into it. Like, I kind of, like, I saw it, but I had other things going on at the time, so I was just like, okay, you know, I kind of get the gist of it. And then I didn't really, you know, think too much about it until I met Mark. Like I really didn't know too much about, like, you know, whether even Forward was in Ohio or, you know, the different types of things that they stand for until I really, you know, until Mark joined TNP. So
yeah,
which I was very excited. So when I got the email for TNP, just to go off that a little bit, is I didn't really quite understand or grasp what it was about, but the new political name, I'm like, well, new political. I gotta at least show up to the location and see what's going on. And I'll just say, I mean, it's changed the direction of what I was doing this mm-hmm. semester by, like, a ton. I mean, I picked up a journalism major because of how much I've enjoyed it. So thank you all for having me.
Of course. We're always happy to, you know, have anybody. And I don't think that you came into that meeting thinking that you were going to end up being a writer. I remember that specifically, and I'm like, well, we got one. So...
I mean, yeah, when I walked in, again, like I said, I wasn't even thinking that lines. But then when I heard what it was and the opportunity, I was, I don't know, something clicked in my head, and it's worked out pretty well since.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed it.
You two were the same interest meeting. I remember that.
Yeah, we were. And yeah. I came in under the idea of digital content creation. And then last I knew, I have two articles out. So
nice.
Also became a little writer.
I went in thinking I was going to be a news writer, and then I ended up doing this. I ended up being the digital editor and then the managing editor. And now I'm graduating. And this is my last podcast.
It's going to be sad.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, but I am excited for the new administration coming into the fall. Administration. I don't know. That's probably the wrong choice of word.
That's what Maddie and I would always call it, was the Maddie Harden, of course. The Harden-Keller administration, because we thought it was funny and then it actually stuck. No, they're going to do a great job.
Yeah.
And then Aiden... Do you want to make your announcement?
I will be in charge of Athens Happens for at least next year, maybe going forward for the next 2 years after that. Do you think third parties can realistically compete with the major two parties?
I guess it defines what you mean by realistic. I mean, are you talking about winning elections? Because I think the target for the Forward Party is to do local elections.
I mean, I think in just that broader sense, just winning elections in general.
I think it's a multi-stage thing, and I part of the problem with trying to judge the Forward Party as a whole is I am really entrenched in the state, so I'm really way more aware of our thought process here in the state. But the idea is we want to cover, you know, like Athens, for example. Very, very rarely do Republicans run in local stuff. Yeah. They just know that the Democrats have a pretty strong hold here, so, you know, sometimes candidates will run unopposed. The entire idea for the state of Ohio is no races run opposed, because it's not that difficult to field somebody and put another name on the ballot. So that's a key part of the strategy of what we're trying to do. But also look for districts where people are leaving incumbents. Basically, the idea is there's a technical requirement to make minor party status. That's goal one. And then there's a technical requirement to keep minor party status and hopefully expand into major party status. In the state of Ohio, it's kind of one or the other. You have to move... I think it's two election cycles, if I remember correctly. I'm not as well-versed on this as some of the other people. But at the end of the day, so it's we think we have that first step. We think we have the organization ready to go. We've got the right ideas. So taking it piece by piece, I think we can. As long as we keep on our trajectory, we can keep up with the two major parties. Right now, the national party says we aren't even fielding a candidate in 24. We recognize that we aren't that entrenched. We haven't made a dent in the public consciousness to the point where we actually have a chance of doing something on a national level like that. But at state level, I mean, Ohio is doing pretty well, but we're definitely not leading the pack. California, Nevada, Arizona, those are actually doing much better as far as that. And I'd say, and I wouldn't be surprised, sometime in 23 or 24, you'll see a few state races out west probably first. We'll have some Ford candidates actually get in office. So it's like right now in 24, no, we're not even trying for 24. Ask me this question in, 28, 20, 30, any of the years later, and I might have a better answer for you. But right now we're on course. We're doing really well. We're doing better than being on course. We're actually accelerating at a much faster pace than I think the national team realized based off of my interactions.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about it like that, but it's great having you here for part of the Ford Party. And then because I think I didn't look at it at state levels, I didn't look at it at like those local elections and getting that influence out first. I think when I first heard about it, I was like, I don't think they're going to win a presidency. I don't know about how I feel about them winning congressional seats. And I think now, even after how you just explained it, I think I'm on the same page of it's not going to happen now, but in a couple years with growing that influence and growing names, I think, yeah, but I think when it comes down to competing with them, it's going to have to change a decent amount of people or a decent amount of voters' minds to vote that way instead of being so entrenched in, oh, I'm voting for a Democrat, oh, I'm voting for a Republican, because I think isn't the only technically elected senator as an independent Bernie?
Yeah, I mean, I get where you're coming from, and I'd say if you're thinking about it that way, that's definitely Bernie. I'm pretty sure there's definitely at least more than Bernie.
Oh, I think that
Angus King from Maine. I think he's Maine is also an independent, and so is Kirsten Sinema right now.
Oh yeah. Okay, well, didn't she get elected as a Dem though?
She did get elected as a Dem.
Okay,
but no, the thought process here is, and this is kind of the thing. The Ford Party is trying to be a political party. It's trying to, you know, become, but its real goal, the idea behind it, and the whole real idea is to break the two-party system. So, you know, winning and becoming a substantial national party is part of that, since there's two, and making one would break that. But the real goal is to do anything to disrupt this pattern and actually deliver for the public. So, and the idea is not to be the only one in this space by the time we're done with whatever the existence of the party is. The goal is, on the far side, if things go really well, is to tear the door open for a third party and leave it open. Get rid of, this is just so, like, the technicalities involved of getting this done, which I don't have, you know, I'm not the lawyers at the state level that are actually figuring this all out. But from what I've heard and has been put down to me as an organizer, what's become clear is there's a ton of red tape to basically make it really hard in the state of Ohio. Other states are a little bit better about it than the state of Ohio to prevent small third parties to pop up. And just as a thing, that's bad. The more you have small groups of people within state, I mean, because that's the thing. It's like maybe you don't have a successful national third party, but why aren't there any successful state third parties?
Yeah.
You know, that are just focused on issues in their state. This is the kind of, I mean, like Ford is trying to build that national position, but they have constructed a system that makes it basically impossible. It's why the Greens failed, the Libertarians failed. And the idea is try to break down that system when we get on the other side. There's an argument that if the Libertarians at their peak, when they actually had gained some ground, had went back through and been able to succeed in breaking that up and opening the door behind them, that this could have gotten better. But we're not there yet, and even the Libertarians didn't get enough real power to go and do that kind of thing. So I think that it's all about, we have success on our first goal. Looking beyond that's a little bit, you know, guessing game. It's like trying to guess who's going to be president in, you know, two election cycles from now. It's like there's just too many variables between here and there. But for the first step, we are on course.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think that's very fair. Because, again, I looked at it from a national level. And I think looking at it with my start to a political science degree, I focus on that national level more than I should state, but I know both are extremely important. But for me personally, when I first figured out what we're going to do for the pod today, I was like, I think I came to the conclusion that our two-party system has evolved in such a way to where it's become so massive and so this or that. And I think at the point we are now, it's kind of impossible for that third party to win. And I think you kind of made that point kind of understood that it's has to start small and start local, start state, and then build up. And I think that's a good perspective on it.
Well, it's like Russian dolls, for like a lack of a better thing. It's like, if I only have that outer shell and I, you know, you go to step on them, they'll crush in. But if I have the entire thing smallest to begin that, you can't crush it. You know, it's, so the idea is, if you build small internal units and then stack those units, by the time you're actually up to that level, you've got enough resilience that even in a fight that you're up against a much stronger opponent, as will likely be so in that when we get to that point. But, you know, it's all about setting yourself up for success even in the face of strong odds.
Well, do you think that a third party is beneficial for democracy?
Oh, extremely. I think the fact that we have a bipolar two poles view for most of politics is the worst state it could be. I mean, there is an argument that the kind of unipolar post-Second World War America, where there was two political parties and they didn't have some difference, but they were mostly on the same page on 90% of stuff, at least stuff got done that the public was interested in, by and large. I mean, obviously, there's plenty of specific examples you could point to, but overall, the tone of politics actually was people's interests. I mean, they called their senators when the price of milk went up.
Yeah.
Okay, when's the last time you called any government official when the price of housing to own a home in your life goes up? You know what I'm saying? You know.
I call my grandma regularly.
Okay, well, is your grandma?
She used to be.
Oh, okay. Well, but still,
I had to make the joke. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But no, I get what you're saying. But at the end of the day, that's what's changed. Now with the two parties, the two poles, it's one versus the other, and the distraction is completely in that.
Yeah.
The argument of third parties is it's not optimum to have three. That's not put forward's position. The optimum is five, six, something more, you know, that actually represents people's interests, where multiple parties can agree on a piece of legislation and outweigh the other side, like the parliamentary.
I was
going to
say like a parliamentary system, yeah.
And I don't judge me. I'm not as well read on the European models. You know, I understand kind of how they work, but I'm not like detailed. But the idea is, if you have, you know, five political parties, and an issue comes up that three agree on and two don't, okay, well then that's must be a large enough percentage of a wide swath of people that have differing political ideologies that share an interest on one particular thing, that's probably going to be something the public either needs or wants, depending on what the issue is.
Yeah.
So versus in a two-party system, everything goes in one box or the other. And as soon as it goes in that box, there's two positions for or against. It's a war, one versus the other. So nothing can get through, because nothing can ever be in both boxes. Because, I mean, how many times, I brought this up the other day, how many times have you heard senators privately say they support the legislation, they actually agree with what the bill is, but it's sponsored by the opposite party, so they'll never vote for it?
Yeah.
That's people's actual political wants in government that they're not expressing because of partisanship. That's a problem.
Let me ask you this. How do you think we got here?
That's actually been the like big question. Mm-hmm. I think things went wrong in the 70s. I mean, that's personal take. But I think really what we've lacked understanding as a society is the technological advancement and social advancement we've had in the last century, two centuries now, has been at a breakneck pace. So human society is not structured in any kind of way to be able to handle this rapid change. So in the 70s, we take it as this is, you know, this should have happened, why'd it take so long? But when you get like, you know, environmental protections, the first real environmental protections put in place, when you had these really strong, you know, affirmative action stuff for people of color and for women. And I'm not saying those things are obviously, like I said, it's like, why weren't they addressed sooner? Why did it take that long in human history for these things to come up? But at the end of the day, for the people of the time, This didn't poll well. This was a very slim margin in the positive that the government enacted all of these policies. So what that basically did was bifurcate the public. There was the people on the right. We can argue that they are ideologically wrong with the not supporting those issues in particular. I mean, obviously, people's views change, and people on the right today, most of them accept those things as also things that are common sense, why they take so long to happen. But at the time, that basically bifurcated the public down this huge line on social issues. Well, then what did Reagan do in the 80s? It's the three-legged stool. They built out the conservative cultural values that comes from the split in the 70s, conservative economic policy, and hawkish military position. At the time, at the heat of the Cold War, those three things actually kind of make sense, in opposed to communist, you know, the USSR, and the whole framing and the political positioning of that. Those things made sense. This is why Reagan, I think, we can all see based off the data of the time, did really, really well. The problem was, what was buried under this whole thing is a group of young people, Gen X, that just sold out of the system. They said, if you're part of the system, you are a sellout. Okay, well, roll it to their kids where we are now, and the problem is there is no system that has a connection to the actual people on the ground because a lot of the people on the ground opted out of participating in the system. You can't fix the system from the outside. I know third-party politics, wow, look, you can't fix the system from the outside, but no. But you have, what I mean by that is you have to work within the, I mean, you can, no one's pushing for violent revolution, or at least I'd hope that no one wants to push for that because that's not a solution either. So you have to work within peaceful means to have things changed. And the only way to do that is to have the government get better, change, evolve over time. And the only way to do that is to go out and vote and participate. Get involved in any political organization. I mean, I'm a third party. Go, if you're interested in what I said, you know, Forward's position, come join Forward. But any participation, in my view, is good. No matter if it is upon the, because the more people have a hand in what the government does, the more you'll actually see their interests reflected. And if a third party, which I think is what we need here, can open that door, because Forward's an extremely wide tent position. That is our position, because the idea is there are more people who don't fall in those two boxes than there are people that'll fall into any one of the same size pie, you know, slice of the pie. So the idea is there's a lot of stuff we actually agree on out here outside of the two-party system that we all could actually get behind and do something different. And that's pretty much the thesis of the Forward movement of from the outside. There's enough people who just want to leave the system. Let's bring them back into the system under the same banner and open the door for something better.
I mean, yeah. And I think, well, I mean, I think more on like my side of my perspective of things is like that introduction of a third party allows for that more and broader like representation within democracy instead of being, oh, this is a Democratic bill. Oh, this is a Republican bill. And I know even for like myself personally, when I like go out and vote, sometimes I split my ticket. Sometimes I vote Dem, sometimes I vote Republican. It just depends on the person or how I think they're going to do their job. But I think that opening that door for that third party or for everyone outside of the system who wants to come in, I think it definitely gives that introduction of more voices in, quite honestly, just a very simple democracy of just run by the people. And I think that could also push towards a little position of less polarization in politics and just being more people expressing their opinions and their views and actually seeing what they want. And the only weird little issue that I have with it is the little idea that sometimes, even like, well, in like 2016, where how third party voters kind of pull away from that two party system vote. And I know it's how people felt. It's what they wanted, because when you're put up against two candidates where it's lesser of the evil and some people are like, I'm just not going to vote for either of them. I'm going to choose this totally different person. But I think with how that two-party system's set up and how everything is run right now, and it might change in the future, I have no idea. But I think with how that two-party system is set up, when you have those, well, let's just call it a 2016 where you have Trump and you have Hillary, and then you just are this or that, and then to just swing your vote to the third party, I think kind of pulls away from that, which isn't a bad idea inherently because it's people expressing their opinions, like I said before. But I think for even that little angle of the anti-Trump side, kind of instead of going directly to Hillary, it went to Johnson for the Libertarian Party, I think, because what did they have?
Johnson and Jill Stein.
Yeah, because I think total in 2016 of third-party votes was like 7.8 million around there.
I don't remember. I was still like very much in high school. You were in like middle school.
I was in high school.
I graduated in 2016.
I was starting high school.
No, you weren't. I was starting high school. I'm older than you.
2016?
Yes.
graduated in 21.
I graduated in 2020.
That means I was like starting high school.
You were in
grade.
8th grade. You were not starting okay. high school.
Okay. I am old is the synopsis of what I've gained from that.
No, but that's fair. But no, I think that those that 7.8 million votes or whatever it is, something around there, that was casted kind of pulled away from the Democratic Party because at that point it was still Republican, Democrat. You have libertarians there, you have the Green Party there, but no one, you know, that platform wasn't really there and ready and available. And I think that pull away from Trump and away from Hillary kind of helped Trump win that election in a sense. And I think even to 2020 when it was Trump-Biden, that decrease in third-party votes kind of helped Biden in a sense in like Pennsylvania or Wisconsin, or no, not Pennsylvania, Michigan and Wisconsin. I think though that helped him win that, and that helped him win the presidency. So I think with how our two-party system set up, it kind of hurts. And I think eventually, like you've said before, starting local, state, and growing, I think then that builds that better idea. But I think for right now, a third-party system isn't crazy beneficial because I think it pulls away certain votes. And I don't like that idea because I like the idea of basic democracy in itself and everyone having a voice and a government being run by the people. But I think for having a two-party system for however long we've had it has made it so hard.
I have a very short answer to a very complex problem. Three letters. RCV, ranked choice voting.
That's true.
That is the key to the whole thing. And this is kind of one of those things where I'll point out Ohio's kind of ahead of the game in the forward movement. And the forward movement is happening a lot quicker than was expected originally. So part of what we thought would happen first is because there is a big push nationally for ranked choice voting. It's not, you know, it's not headline news by any means, but there are multiple organizations across the country that are actually getting ballot initiatives on statewide ballots that are actually getting things addressed. And the thought process, I think earlier in the forward, you know, the decision making was, this will happen before, or at least around the same time, we're pushing for this third-party movement. And what you realize when you have ranked choice voting, which, if you're interested, I did a piece for it actually a little bit ago. No, I'm kidding. Plug myself. The idea being that this breaks down and actually causes voters to be able to vote on issues. The Alaska, always point to Alaska, the Democrat winning there by targeting the second position by saying, we agree on this, we disagree on this, so if this is what's important to you, vote for me. I mean, that's the strategy. That breaks the whole thing down to the point where now a third party isn't a spoiler. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if you want to put them first and that's not enough, it's not taking away from the chances of the actually more popular candidate that's more mainstream, perhaps. So, I mean, it's kind of a cart before the horse type thing. Mm-hmm. It's, we don't have ranked choice voting now. Somehow that's got to get passed. So if with ranked choice voting, it disappears. Without ranked choice voting, I think what you're saying is a valid question and a valid position to have. I think that's part of why Ford's secondary position is anywhere we don't have a strong candidate in, especially so like the 2022, we were technically beginning things and they had enough that they officially endorsed a few candidates. The idea is we're not sure where that's going to shift. It depends on if we can field a candidate. Obviously, we don't want to oppose our own candidates. But if things don't, you know, let's just say we, for example, I'm pretty sure we're not very big in the state of West Virginia right now. If I'm wrong, sorry, West Virginia Forward Party. They're a little less developed. But if, say, there isn't a candidate that's run in West Virginia. Ford might not even come out and fully endorse, but they expect people part of the Ford Party, if they don't have a forward person running in a race, to still participate and vote for the candidate they think they're best. So we're not saying don't ever vote outside of party. They're just saying if party's there, obviously we want you to support the forward candidate. But if there's no one there, we want you to be good citizens. Come and vote your conscience.
I think in like a little tangent off of that, like just speaking West Virginia, and since we're in Southeast Ohio, I think that broader look of Appalachia itself wouldn't really hurt from a third party group that actually is here to care and here to like listen to them instead of just hitting them with the same stereotypes that they've heard over and over about just poor drug addicts who can't do anything to help. And that's never what Appalachia has been. It's just been working class people who are trying their absolute best, but the government keeps hitting on them over and over and just putting them down in a mountain range that has been here since the beginning of like the world. And I think it is that fact and that group of like Appalachia that could actually kind of help third party. And I think even for the two parties we have now, it's to have a better perspective on like that Appalachian group. And I know you're going to have that population density for like, you know, Chicago, New York, California, like just stuff like that. And those are probably going to continuously vote blue in the way that they do. But I think even to help the Ford party or just a third party in general is, and I know, like you said, there might not be a lot going on in West Virginia right now, but I think it's...
There might be. I haven't actually looked into it.
I mean, I have no idea either, but I think it's the fact that they kind of need and want a voice to actually represent them, and I think that could help a lot in a way.
You made the entire case that I've been trying to make to the state leadership in the Forward Party, because, you know, coming from... It's just straightforward. No, this is not, like, shade on them or anything. I don't want to be... But the idea is, I am in the southeastern part of the state. There are less organizers down here. There are less stuff going on right now. I'm trying to be hyperactive. But at the end of the day, the bulk of the numbers in the state party actually fall in the three C's, as everything involving politics in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
So you basically made my core thesis is if we can solve the problem of rural Appalachia and apply that to the entire region, not just the state, the party has a real shot at least it regionally having some success.
Because, I mean, even for Ohio itself and... just Democrat Republican voting here, but in the sense of how the last election went with what was that, 2022? Yeah, that had to be 2022 with Ryan and Vance.
Yes.
Yeah, but with how that went of how blue Athens County is and how every other county around it is all red, and I know that comes from college students voting in it here in Athens and stuff, but I mean I have my own little issue with it that I won't really get into right now, but I think. It's like, I mean, like you said, it's controlled by the big C's, of course. And then if you look at a map of like anything, it's always a little Athens County's blue just because you have students voting, but it's not representing that Southeast Ohio in a way. And I think that's kind of what hurts sometimes. But even with how the 2022 election went with Vance winning and Jay Edwards still being the representative of like the district here in Athens County. And I think that voice is kind of what the people of the Appalachian region kind of want to see, or kind of Southeast Ohio region want to see more specifically. And having that voice in politics is probably going to be the most beneficial.
Well, like Aiden said, you know, people in Appalachia are typically ignored, but I think that there's also that kind of being ignored and kind of cast aside. And then also heavily scrutinized and heavily stereotyped has led to decades of just a lot of mistrust with, you know, mistrust of institutions and systems. So like, you know, if we're talking about like the Great Depression, you know, from that until probably up until past what, 20 years, you know, Appalachia was strongly Democrat because of the
labor unions.
And then also there was a lot of social programs that really helped people in Appalachia, whether that is in the form of like, you know, Social Security, you know, food stamps, you know, workers. There was stuff, I forgot what it's called, but workers stuff. Like, you know, those...
Alphabet programs.
Basically, yes.
I mean, Strouds, that's part of that. They built the dam in the
30s.
Yeah, right.
Because it was the government...
Government subsidized.
Yeah.
There were government subsidized workers who would do a lot of just, like, improvement work, infrastructure work, and a lot of that is missing. That's why all the infrastructure sucks now. But, you know, policies like that really impacted people. And eventually that turned into the, like, lack of attention turned into, you know, hating everything. But, like, you know, I do think that that's something that all third parties can kind of step into and help with.
Well, I want to start with New Deal era politics might have technically died with the Carter administration.
Probably.
But the ideas behind it still resonate.
Yes.
At the end of the day, and this is the debt ceiling, the news that came through right then is money is not based in anything. The government mint the coin. I don't know if you've heard that. They could just make a coin that they say is worth that, literally move it from one location to the other, and boom, now you fix the debt crisis. Because it's all a numbers game. So at the end of the day, if the government has the resources to invest in the area, they didn't need Strouds. They didn't need it is useful for things, but it wasn't like necessary for the region. The people weren't calling out for that lake to be built there. It was, these people are struggling. We can give them something to do and money for it. so that they actually can build an economy and actually survive the things that are, then that kind of machinery that we can actually go into areas and provide wealth and jobs and stability to them has not gone away. The whole national conversation right now pretends like that's not a thing, but it's still there. We still could do that at any point. So my thought process on this is it doesn't matter if it's a third party, hopefully maybe, you know, hopefully the forward party if we get there, or it's one of the two major parties want to listen to what I'm saying, suddenly all of, you know, all of a sudden realize this, that will win you votes. If you want to turn, as seemingly they want to do, is dollars into votes, that is the easiest way. But the problem is, that will give you a strong voter base with an opinion and the time and resources to organize for what they want. And that's the real secret of the whole thing, is politicians don't really want that. They have all the power in the situation, they want to keep it. Helping people will help you win elections in the short term. When those people have enough money to think on their own, it's up to them. And that's something that the two major parties at this point, I don't think, are willing to give up that level of control. It's a reasonable assumption to see why you would do that. The exact reasoning being, well, if I give up that, you know, death grip on that, the Republicans will definitely show up and do it. Or from the Democratic perspective, you know, if I give up on this, the Democrats will come and take it. And as long as they keep you trapped in that mindset, things actually don't ever improve. And I mean, that's the problem at the end of the day.
What do you think the future holds for third parties in American politics?
Pragmatic or pipe dream? Now,
either one.
Pipe dream, the forward party ends up being the first major third party, opens the door, and we end up in a 5 or 6 party system where we actually talk about issues and deliver for the public, but besides from political partisan positions. There's the pipe dream. Pragmatically, if we can itch out a third party space under the banner forward, under the banner anything, and actually open the door for third parties and get people's interests represented outside of the bipolar system we're in, that's a success. I think we're on, like I was saying earlier, I think we're on the right trajectory. But so I guess you want to go election cycle by election cycle. The 24 cycle, it looks like the goal is to field as many candidates as we can across the country and make a splash. The more candidates we have, the more we prove we're an actual viable thing. So that's our focus one. The idea for, you know, the next election cycle for, you know, the midterms and what is that? So 26 is, well, at least within the state of Ohio, at that point we'll have to either make it to major party status or fall off the minor party status, which I'm pretty sure the movement would still just push to try to regain that. And if we got it, then obviously we're now major party status in another state. That's the same game that's being played across all the states that we have a movement in. And then I would assume for the next presidential, the 2028, the idea will be to try to field a presidential candidate with the backing and support of the candidates we've had across the country. And in that meantime, working with Rank the Vote organizations and trying to get that process turned over. That's forwards push right now. If another third party wants to get into the space, which would be, in my opinion, a good thing, I think as long as they're willing to follow the main thing I wish that any other third party, if they want to rise up, will do is keep the polite discourse. That's what has to change. We can't do this echo chamber. Everyone's wrong because they're on the other side of the aisle. That's what's got to change. If you have a particular ideological position and that's what you want to push for, that's fine. Just do it politely and in a reasonable way. We can walk away disagreeing, but as long as that's the ethos of any other third party, and that's the ethos with forward, I think that's the main piece that will improve things for American politics is civility.
Yeah, that's kind of fair. I mean, I get it. I mean, but I don't know. I think for the future of third parties or just multiple parties in general, I think current future and basing it off like election cycle and stuff, I think even in the next like 12 years, for me personally, I don't think we're going to see that presidential win. We might, if stuff ramps up and people change their minds in the way that they do, or actually feel like it's a good fit for them. I think we might see like some congressional representation or even on state levels. But I think for me personally, I'd like to see kind of like a parliamentary system where we have like 5 parties or something to where it's ideology spread across the entire political spectrum. And some of them, you know, I might not agree with, but I think it's still like that idea of people having a voice and seeing what they want actually done in politics and representing people in a way that democracy is and should be. But I think the future itself for third parties is going to be an uphill battle in a way, because you're going against two very big and established parties that have been here for however long at this point. I mean, I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think even like the Republican Party started as a third party and then grew its way to where it is now. And I think after time, the Ford Party or some other third party in a way might reach that point or reach that mark. But I think for the next 12 or so years, I think we're going to be stuck with this big two, with the little other parties trying to represent as many people as they can, trying to change as many minds as they can. But I think just that duopoly that there is now is just so massive and so controlling that I think it's just going to stick for a while.
Ideologically, this is, I'm asking you a question now, turning it on you again.
Okay.
Ideologically, do you 100% agree with the party you're aligned with, or is there at least some point you disagree with? And then the next chunk, even if you're completely in lockstep with the ideology, do you like the people running your party right now?
Technically, according to the state of Ohio, I'm not like affiliated with a specific party, but I think when I vote, I lean a certain way, but I never go full ballot on like the, like that way that I lean. I split back and forth because I go more on the person and more on policy and what they want to do and what they want to see. So even like our current president, I'm not a crazy big fan of. Our former president, I'm even bigger, not a crazy big fan of, but I think it just comes down to policy for me personally and what they want to do. Because some of the policies of the current administration I don't hate. Some of the policies of the previous administration I don't hate. But I think as the overall of what they are and who they are and what they want to do and certain aspects to where they just dig themselves into deeper holes where I don't agree with, I think ideally I would want to see someone who can see both sides of issues and knows how to actually represent people on both sides of issues and actually make a change that isn't partisan, a change that's more bipartisan to represent the United States or the, just the state of Ohio as a whole.
No to both. I don't expect like everyone in the party I most align with that I will not name on the pod. But I don't really like anyone from either major party. Like, I'm just kind of a hater when it comes to politics because I don't know. I mean, I like certain people, but I mean, I'm overall kind of pessimistic and cynical when it comes to politics, specifically on a national level. On a local and state level, it really depends. Sometimes there's things that are good, but we do live in Ohio, and the state house is always just kind of on the verge of imploding. So, you know, but I do want to emphasize I don't expect to like everyone in politics. Don't expect to like everyone in every single party. I don't expect to like everyone in the state house. I don't expect everyone to like everyone on city council. But, you know, again, I think the focus should be more on, you know, the people rather than those who are elected. You know what I mean? Even yeah. For those who are elected, the focus should be on the people.
And at the end of the day, if there was some dynamic candidate that came out of nowhere that aligned significantly more closely with your position, was a lot more cordial and willing, you'd get behind that person.
Yes.
So the race right now, really, partisanship aside, is someone that'll actually represent what the public's interest is on a national stage. So for me, if that's what the game is, why do I want to play the game with one arm tied behind my back because I have to follow the ideological lines of one party or the other? Why wouldn't I get out, get involved, actually find what that read is on the country, and then find that person that aligns with that? And that's the door third parties open.
Yeah.
And that's what I think the whole, I mean, that's the thesis of the idea is, if the two aren't going to represent the public's interest, if you can find the public's interest, you've got a you get the jump ball, basically. You've got an edge on everybody. So I guess my statement here would be, find somebody that actually represents the public and put them in office, and I'll be happy. You know, doesn't matter if that's third party, if that's one of the two majors, if you actually can find somebody that will represent the public's interest, you've now got more political clout than you'll ever, you can't buy it. You know what I mean? You just can't buy that.
I mean, I don't think we have any more questions, Mark. Is there anything that you want to add?
Well, first off, just thanks for everything this semester. I really have enjoyed everything. Sad to see you leave. But I'm glad you're going on, and I'm sure doing great things.
You're going to make me cry.
Well, I don't do that. But
no, I can't cry in the podcast room. There's glass everywhere.
But no, I really had a good time. I'm very encouraged by the fact that interacting with you all who, I mean, you all I know have positions because you actually pay attention and are informed on stuff and form opinions like good citizens should. But it's nice in another space outside of Forward. And this is the only two spaces I've seen this in politics is the New Political and Forward, where people, regardless of partisan poll, can sit down and have a civil conversation and even at times cynical conversation about politics. So that is refreshing. And I thank you all for creating this space. I know it was years of in the works, many people before you, but I am very happy this space exists here at Ohio University. And if that can be spread across the country, the kind of free space where the marketplace of ideas or whatever can actually be represented, that's what we need in this country. But yeah, to round it all back, I just thank you. Thanks for having me. Look forward to next semester. You should also look, if you're interested in the Forward Party, forwardparty.com/Ohio. If you're in Ohio, forwardparty.com if you're in Forward or anywhere in the country. But at the end of the day, also, if you're here at OU, keep in touch with the New Political because there's great articles that come out all the time. And also, there's going to be more Forward information on what's happening locally here provided by myself. So if you're interested, keep in touch. And then just thank you. And also, congratulations on getting this for next year.
Well, thank Aiden. You. Thank you. Well, I want to thank you, Mark, for being here. And then if anything develops with Forward, we might have you back on. And I'd love to have that conversation. But to Izzy, I want to say thank you for introducing me to this podcast. And thank you for teaching me all the stuff that you've taught me about. I want to thank you for teaching me all the stuff about digital everything. And I want to thank you for opening my eyes to writing even opinion articles when I didn't think I would. And I want to wish you the best of luck after you graduate and have fun doing whatever you're doing.
God damn it. Thank you guys. That was very sweet, both of you. But yeah, I had a good run, I'd say. But yeah, thank you both for your enthusiasm and your time this semester. You know, Aiden picked up something that he didn't think he was going to pick up, and he learned how to do a podcast, which is incredible. And Mark, you've been a really strong asset to the opinion section this year. You've been one of our very consistent writers and always turning in really good work. And then Aiden, you've also been very consistent. You've kept me consistent this year. I mean, the past few months, this semester. And I've been really, really thankful for that. I'm thankful to have somebody that's interested in digital and taking over the podcast. And you're right, Mark. There are a ton of people who came here before us. This podcast was started right before the pandemic in 2020 by Ben Peters and Bo Kuhn. And now, you know, it's going on to like its third generation with you. So it's really incredible to see. But yes, I'm thankful for the New Political, and I'm thankful for you both.
Now fade out with the times they're changing, you know.
Don't do that to me. See you, Mark. Mark's always running the something.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, busy, busy. Better to be busy than not busy at all.
Right. See you, Mark. Thanks for everything.
See you.
Thank you.
And that's a wrap for this episode of Athens Happens. Make sure to check out thenewpolitical.com for more podcast episodes and other content. Thank you for 3 great years, and until next time.